Chapter 3. Marianne's Rescuer. The Dashwoods were now settled in their new home, and although they didn't have many visitors, the countryside around them offered many beautiful walks, and they spent a lot of time outdoors. One morning, after 2 days of rain had confined them to the house, Marianne and Margaret decided to walk on the nearby hills, hoping that the weather, which was still changeable, would stay fine for their short excursion. It was windy, and the sky was cloudy and sunny by turns. But the fresh air excited the two sisters, who pushed their way against the strong wind, laughing. After about 20 minutes, however, it suddenly began to rain very heavily. They had reached a steep hill above their house and decided to run down as fast as possible back to the cottage. Marianne was usually faster than Margaret, but now, as she was running, she caught her foot in a hole in the rough ground and fell heavily, twisting her ankle. At that moment, a young gentleman, dressed for shooting, was crossing the hill with his dogs and saw the accident happen. He rushed to help poor Marianne and offered to help her get up. Then, realizing she couldn't move, picked her up in his arms without any embarrassment and carried her like a baby back to the cottage. Eleanor and her mother gasped in amazement when they saw Marianne arrive in the arms of this unknown gentleman. When she heard the story, Mrs. Dashwood was extremely grateful to him for helping her daughter, and was charmed by his courteous manners. He was young, tall and handsome, with thick black hair, well-dressed and, from his way of speaking, obviously a gentleman. She asked him to stay for tea, but he refused, saying he was dirty and wet and must go home. But he asked if he could return the next day to see how the patient was. His name, he told them, was Willoughby, and he was in the area visiting a relative. When he had gone, Marianne's sisters teased her terribly about her gallant rescuer, and although she denied any admiration for him, she had seen enough to know that he was as good-looking and distinguished as any of the heroes in her favourite novels. In fact, her unusual return to the cottage in his arms seemed like an episode straight from one of them. She thought about the gallant stranger all day, and fortunately these pleasant reveries helped her to forget the pain in her ankle. When Sir John arrived later, they told him the story, asked him if he knew Mr. Willoughby, and what his opinion of him was.
"Willoughby, there is not a bolder rider in all of England,"
cried Sir John with enthusiasm.
"Is that all you can tell us?"
replied Marianne, disappointed. He thought for a while, then added that Willoughby was the heir to the nearby Allenham estate, which he would inherit when his old aunt died, and that his own small property was in the county of Somerset.
"But what of his character and tastes?"
demanded Marianne. Sir John, however, was the wrong man to ask such questions. He only remembered that he had once invited Willoughby to a Christmas party at Barton Park, where the young man had danced until 4 o'clock in the morning and then got up to go hunting the next morning at 8.
"That is what I like. That is how a young man should be,"
cried Marianne with admiration. Sir John observed, laughing, that now Miss Dashwood would be setting her cap at the dashing Mr. Willoughby, without a thought for his friend Colonel Brandon, who was rumoured to be completely in love with her, if Mrs. Jennings was to be believed. Marianne hotly replied that she had no intention of doing anything so vulgar, and that the story about the Colonel was pure invention. Willoughby called the next day to see how the patient was, and the day after, and the day after that. He soon became a regular visitor at the cottage. He enjoyed the lively company of the Dashwood girls, which distracted him from the boredom of life with his aunt at Allenham. Eleanor, he observed, was an attractive young woman with wavy brown hair, delicate features, and a pretty figure. But Marianne was the real beauty of the family. She was tall, with dark hair, a brilliant complexion, and sparkling black eyes full of vivacity and enthusiasm for life. When they got to know each other better, she and Willoughby soon found they had many tastes and preferences in common. They both loved music and dancing passionately, and often sang together at the piano. Before long, they were treating each other like old friends. Mrs. Dashwood was pleased with the blossoming friendship. Although in the beginning she had not thought of the possibility of a match between the two, as Willoughby's attentions to her daughter became more marked, she began to congratulate herself on her good fortune in having two daughters with the prospect of such happy marriages before them, for she hadn't lost hope in Eleanor's attachment to Edward Ferrars either, in spite of the fact that they had heard nothing from him since their arrival in Devonshire. Only Eleanor had any reservations. She felt that the friendship was developing too fast, and that her sister was behaving rather immodestly. Willoughby and Marianne were now inseparable. He attended all the parties and excursions to which the Dashwood girls were invited, and was always at Marianne's side. Even in company, the two had eyes only for each other, and were always so deep in intimate conversation that other people hesitated to approach them. Eleanor also felt that her sister's reasons for liking the young man so much were rather superficial ones. True, they had much in common in their taste for poetry, music, and landscape, and Willoughby was certainly lively and amusing company. But his remarks often made fun of other people, and he seemed to think more about making a sensation and being the centre of attention than about how much his comments might hurt or offend others present. Around the same time, Eleanor began to notice Colonel Brandon's feelings for Marianne. At first, she had not believed Mrs. Jennings' gossip, but now, just as the others were beginning to forget their jokes about the Colonel and turn instead to Marianne's new admirer, she began to observe the way he looked at her sister and saw a sadness in his face which revealed his feelings. Perhaps she pitied and respected him more because he was ridiculed by Marianne and Willoughby, who made fun of his age and his reserved manner. Eleanor defended him when she could, underlining his kindness, consideration, and good sense. But Willoughby was scathing in his reply.
"He is just the sort of man,"
he said,
"whom everybody speaks well of, but nobody cares about."
"That is exactly what I think of him,"
cried Marianne, immediately agreeing with her hero.
"That man has no spirit and no feelings at all."